Hi, good morning, everyone. We welcome you to the Q4 FY21 earnings conference call of Vimta Labs Limited. We thank the Vimta Labs management for giving us an opportunity to host the call. Today, we have with us the senior management of the company, represented by Ms. Harita Vasireddi, Managing Director, Mr. Satya Sreenivas Neerukonda, Executive Director, Mr. Narahari Naidu, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Sujani Vasireddi, Company Secretary. I now hand over the call to the Vimta Labs management. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vishal. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today in our Q4 FY21 earnings call. The first half of the financial year 2021 was a challenging period with uncertainties and operational complexities brought in by the pandemic. Despite these headwinds, we are happy to share that it has been a remarkable year with consistent performance since Q2. Barring the aberration in Q1 of the financial year, if you just extrapolate the Q2, Q3, and Q4 performances and compare to the previous financial year, the company grew by almost 30% in revenues. The severe second wave of the pandemic is upon us. However, we continue to remain optimistic about our business. I will share a few key highlights of the quarter, and our CFO, Mr. Narahari, will get into a little more detail on them. The performance for the quarter played out in line with our expectations. The fourth quarter's consolidated revenue from operations grew by about 38% over the corresponding quarter of last year and is at 598.4 million INR. EBITDA for the quarter was up 260% at 169.2 million INR. Moving on to full-year performance, in many ways, it is fair to say that it has been an exceptional year. We think we have really been tested on our resilience. Our multi-basket service model has been validated to withstand very testing times, and I'm deeply grateful for the commitment of our employees, strong leadership shown by the executive team, and the incredible support and trust we have experienced from our customers and vendor partners during the year. For the year, consolidated revenue from operations grew by about 16.6% and is at INR 2,106.8 million. EBITDA for the full year was up 160% at INR 537.9 million. On the operations side, all our service vectors have been performing steadily, which lays a good path forward to meet our short-term and long-term growth objectives of the company. We are continuing to invest in manpower and in new capabilities to strengthen our service portfolio to our customers. During the fourth quarter, we expanded our diagnostics business. We started three walk-in patient centers in Hyderabad and will be adding two more in the next 4 weeks. We are also in the process of setting up two regional reference laboratories, one in Delhi and one in Kolkata, and expect them to be operational before end of this Q1. As I had updated during the previous earnings call, our new services for electronics and electrical products have been running a little behind schedule because most of the equipment were imported and coming from Europe. There were delays in receipt of the equipment, but now most of the equipment are received. However, qualification delays are there from vendor side, which is pushing the commercialization of operations by another month. Before end of Q1, we should be able to start accepting samples from customers. Food and pharma services are doing well. Because of recent lockdowns in various states, the environmental projects execution and availability of healthy volunteers for conducting BABE clinical studies and outpatient clinical samples are slightly impacted, and we are hoping that this is just temporary. As such, all our labs are functioning across our 18 locations because we come under the essential services category. Our primary focus remains the health and safety of our employees. All necessary pandemic protocols are strictly implemented, and we have a very clear near and long-term growth strategy. We have good order books and pipeline of projects and we are focused on growing our services and hope for the best. So I will just conclude my opening comments with this and request Narahari to please take over.
Thank you, Ms. Harita. Good morning, everyone. Firstly, I hope you and your loved ones are in good health. Let me talk about a few key performances on the financial side. Despite the unprecedented challenges of the pandemic, Vimta sustained and grew. We have delivered steady financial performance during this quarter with the highest ever quarterly consolidated total income of INR 600.8 million. Our consolidated revenue from operations increased during the quarter by 2% sequentially and 38.3% year-on-year. The total consolidated revenue from operations stands at 598.4 million. Our consolidated EBITDA of INR 169.2 million compares well with INR 169.7 million of previous quarter, and it grew by 158% year-on-year, driven by strong underlying performance across almost all the business verticals of Vimta. Profit before tax stands at INR 104.2 million, which stands well compared to previous quarter and grew by 128 times year-on-year. This was owing to strong operating performance and reduction in working capital utilization. Moving on to full year performance, our consolidated revenue from operations increased during the year by 16.6% to INR 2106.8 million. Our consolidated EBITDA reported a significant growth of 63% at INR 537.9 million compared to previous year, with strong performance across most of the business verticals supported by careful cost management during the year. Profit before tax for the full year stands at INR 285.4 million, which is a growth of 3.5 times compared to previous year. With strong underlying operating performance and disciplined capital allocation, we were able to generate free cash flows of about INR 53 million during the year, which was indeed utilized to reduce the working capital. During the quarter, the board has recommended a dividend of INR 2 per share. With this brief summary, I will hand it over back to the operator and would be happy to take questions.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Parag Someshwar from AG Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Harita ma'am, good morning and thanks for this opportunity. In one of your interviews and also in Q2 earnings call, you had stated that with the current infrastructure, the company can achieve revenue of 300 crore plus and EBITDA margin of 30% plus. So I would like to know whether the company can achieve these numbers in the current year or next year.
Mr. Parag, the company refrains from making any forward-looking statements, so I would actually not be able to answer those, on those specific numbers.
Okay. As you mentioned in your opening remark that you grew by 30% in Q2, Q3, Q4, at least you can give us some sense of what kind of revenue growth you are expecting in the current year, some color on that.
See, we have made plans to reach, I can give you a long-term goal that we have. We have made plans to grow at least on a 15 to 20% level year on year during the next 5-6 years. So some years could be high, some years could be less than that number. So that's a ballpark number. I won't be able to give you more details than that, please.
Okay. Now, my last question. In Q2 and Q3 calls, you had mentioned that Q4 you are expecting better than both Q2 and Q3. So I think Q4 was on par with Q2 and Q3. So was there any difficulty in Q4 which restrained you from doing better than what you actually done?
Q4, we just entered into the second wave of the pandemic, as you know. March was a slightly difficult month compared to the previous month. So, yes, there were operational challenges in terms of execution of projects, you know, outside in the field. And the outpatient business, like I mentioned, was slowly beginning to come down. And also, we do some studies with volunteers. So that has also been slightly impacted. And additionally, availability of our own staff, you know, because people are getting infected. Likewise, our staff is also, some of the staff have been infected. So their availability at work took a little impact.
Okay. Thanks a lot. That's all from my side. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, in terms of, you did mention that March was slightly infected due to the second wave. So how do you see Q1 because of the three things? One is the impact on the businesses, and secondly, in terms of how your diagnostic business can perform in Q4, given the surge in the COVID cases.
So your voice was not very clear, but I'll try to respond to whatever I understood. In Q1 of this year, April has done fairly well, and we do continue to have the same operational challenges that we had, you know, in March. Diagnostic business on one side, the OP business has been coming down because of lockdowns in various cities. But on the other side, just the COVID sample testing, you know, that's in demand. So that business is steadily flowing in.
Okay. And you mentioned that, you know, 15 to 20% kind of growth we are expecting in a long term. Can we consider that this as a the base as a 60 crore quarterly, or you would see that 210 crore as a base year? Because run rate wise, we are doing around 240 to 50 crore.
Mr. Doshi, like I said, I won't be able to make any specific comments on the growth percentages, either quarter on quarter or year on year. It's a policy, and I don't wish to make any more comments on that number.
Okay. And lastly, one question. In your Q3 con call, you mentioned that, you know, we have a big plan for expanding our diagnostic business, and you mentioned we'll discuss it in Q4. So if you can elaborate a more bit over there, how we are planning to expand our center or lab, and how much it is currently for diagnostic business. Thank you.
As I just mentioned in my opening remarks, we have taken up Hyderabad as the first city where we will consider expanding into a B2C business model. So to continue with that strategy, we have already established three patient service centers. Two more are coming up in the next 4 weeks. We also have regional labs that are in the process of being set up, Calcutta and Delhi. So these will be set up and be operational before end of Q1. And we also have plans of setting up another 5 patient service centers in other cities, and 1 branch laboratory in Telangana state. So for now, in this year, these are the plans, but we have also already significantly invested in expanding our sales team. So we have strengthened the number of people in and around the areas where we are expanding, which is mostly Delhi, Calcutta, and the southern states of Telangana, Andhra Pradesh.
And lastly, one question from my side. So you were mentioning that our electronic business can start from April onwards. So can we expect a decent revenue from that business also in this year?
It's a maiden year for electronics and electricals. The equipment qualifications are slightly delayed because we have vendors in other cities who are finding it difficult to travel here and do the equipment qualifications. So we are thinking that by maybe June, mid or end June, we will be able to start commercialization. And we do have aggressive targets for a maiden year. So we expect that we will be doing as per our targets during the year.
Okay, this is from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Kothari from Unique Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks for opportunity. Good morning, ma'am. Ma'am, my question is a little bit on a larger scale. During this last one and a half year, we all have faced so many things which is was not anticipated, and so many people were trying to accelerate their research or their product introduction, like vaccines, the way it has come. Do you see any major change for you in terms of opportunity, maybe electronics or food or some medicines, pharma, anything? Would you like to just throw some your thoughts on the opportunity change or how you are preparing for that?
Pharma, definitely we see the opportunities growing for various reasons, maybe in more molecules in the pipeline to address the pandemic or for other reasons. We see opportunities growing in the pharma. Food opportunities are steady. It's not as if they're not growing. The food industry is also growing at a decent rate, but that is nothing to do with the effect of pandemic as such.
Right.
So nothing odd or unusual in the food business growth. E&D, we expect that in the future years that the industry could significantly grow, not only because of the Make in India push, but also because of the huge influx of R&D setups that are being put up in India by other countries, other MNCs in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Here we see the possibility of a good growth in the E&D segment, E&D mm-hmm. testing segment, I mean. The other sectors that we are in, diagnostics, of course, is at a very good growth rate for the past few years, and we expect that to continue for the next 5-6 years as well, because you may know that the organized sector is very small, maybe about 15% yeah. only, and the major players, they have only about 4% of the business, even in this organized sector.
Oh.
There's huge potential for companies like Vimta to actually gain from that trend. The other businesses, environmental consultancy and things like that, that's a steady business. We don't see any major growth in that area. But having said that, company can still invest in expanding its operations and grow that business as well.
Oh, very good. And so what type of capex are we planning? Last year, as per cash flow, we invested some 37 crore. Previous year was some 15, 16 crore. So what type of cash outgo should we count in terms of adding fixed assets?
Every year the depreciation amount is definitely reinvested for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our plan as well for this year. And we also have contingency budgets because to handle any sudden needs. So we are planning at the same level, about 30 crores plus or minus few crores. That is our plan for this new year.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot, ma'am. Wish you good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Salera from Pragya Equity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations for a good set of numbers. Ma'am, does this PLI scheme opening up any new avenue for us, or are we looking at any other areas of testing or something, whatever?
Thanks, Chetan, for asking the question. So PLI as such, we don't have any advantage coming. So we,
how are we positioned to gain a share of it? I mean,
we are just beginning. So I think our maiden projects are yet to take off. So we will know more as we execute them. Then we will understand what is our appetite for that business.
So will it be testing on volunteers or just animals?
No. Clinical trials are on patients.
on patients?
They have to be done in hospitals.
Oh, okay. Fine. Thank you. Thank you so much and best of luck for a wonderful future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Kataria from Unique Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again for opportunity. Ma'am, in reply to my question about opportunity in electronics, you said many MNCs are setting up R&D in India and that also becomes opportunity. So if you can little bit elaborate what you mean to say and as an investor, what we can understand from that, please.
You may know that the automobile industry has been growing and there are a lot of automobile manufacturing that happens in Chennai, Pune, and Bangalore is a hub for electronic products. Delhi is also a hub for electronic products. And you have a lot of these MNCs that have come to India to set up their R&D operations. So when they are developing new prototypes of products, they typically have to put their products through electronic EMI EMC testing. So that's a capability that we have built now at Vimta. So all these companies, big ones, they may have some sort of a EMI EMC capability within their organization, but there are many who do not have this kind of capability, so they typically tend to outsource. And you also have a lot of components that go into your defense items, military items, your aerospace, you know, many items. You know, you have telecom products, you have Internet of Things, you know, products related to IoTs. They are Wi-Fi products, so practically everything is digital and electronic these days. And there are medical devices which are now under DCGI. So all these products during their development and also if they are regulated, they will need testing for safety, for their environmental stability and also their EMI EMC. So we are offering these services now with the setup of the EMI EMC chamber at Vimta.
And as this type of R&D centers increases from MNCs, it gives us better opportunity.
Yes, the market basically grows within India.
Correct. Thanks a lot, man. Thank you for it. Thanks.
Thanks,
man.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh Karda, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Ma'am, I just want to know a little bit about the management leadership background. I've been looking at this company for long, but have never heard a con call. But has there been any change in the management thought process or the leadership team which is driving the company to look into growth going ahead? If you can just elaborate a bit on what has changed in the management side.
The company's founder, Dr. S.P. Vasireddy, he was running the organization up to 2018 since its inception. Later, he took on a non-executive role, so he's our non-executive chairman now. And the co-founder, Mr. Harriman, who started the company, is still part of the management. I have been with the company for now almost 23 years, and I have been the director since 2002. So mine is also a long tenure here. We do have a young person joining the board recently, Mr. Srinivas Nirukonda. He has been with the company for 12 years now, and he leads our business development efforts across the globe for all the divisions. And this is basically the senior management. So yes, there has been a slight change, but not significant in terms of who is at the helm.
Okay, and second thing is on the shareholding. I know it is not very low also, but neither very high. So any thought process on the management or the promoters to look at the change of shareholding pattern, because currently we are at about 36-37, which is not very decent considering that you are looking at a growth potential going ahead over next 5-7 years. So are we seeing some that may higher shareholding generally gives a lot of comfort to the potential investors going ahead?
To the best of my knowledge, I don't think there are any intentions to change that. You may know that there are promoters in other companies with less than 5% shareholding also. So there is I don't think there is any set guidance around how much the promoters should hold.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants. To ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Viral Bansali, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity again. My question is regarding the electronics testing. Very recently we have seen that some companies like Dixon have signed huge contracts with MNCs to manufacture their products here. And these are basically assembly units. So they'll be having the PCBs and all getting imported and then getting assembled here. So are we, Dixon also has manufacturing plants in Karnataka. So is that the reason why you said Bangalore and Delhi? Is this the segment that we intend to cater to?
Any product that has an electronic component on it could be a potential customer for us.
Okay. Yeah, because they're expecting huge billions of dollars of business coming to them in the next 3-4 years. So obviously, it goes without saying that the opportunity comes to us as well for the testing space.
Yes, it all depends on their own setup. You know, some people like to do everything in-house, some companies, whereas some companies believe in a highly outsourced kind of business model. So it all depends on how they are set.
So there aren't any regulations as such that there should be a third-party testing of the products? Oh.
Some products are regulated by BIS, PEC, and EEE. Some of them are. I'm not really sure, you know, what their products are and if they're regulated or not. We'll have to study that.
Fine. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Apurva Mehta from AM Investment. Please go ahead.
Good morning, ma'am, and congrats for a great set of numbers. Just wanted to know the breakup of our turnover, means how much food is contributing, how much environment is contributing, and rest of the testings are contributing.
Mr. Mehta, we don't give a breakup of revenues because that's how we measure.
Broadly, ma'am, because how the things have moved over the period of time, we want to know, because food, we have invested a lot of money in that, and what do you see the potential and current, what is your turnover from food, broadly speaking on the percentage basis?
Your voice was not very clear, but I will try and answer on the numbers. 60% ballpark, is business that we do with the pharma industry. The rest is within diagnostics, food, and our environmental business as of now.
What will be our growth segment where we will be focusing for next, 3 to 5 years or 2 to 3 years kind of thing?
Sorry, your voice is not clear. It has a very big echo around it.
One second. Is it clear?
Better. Please continue.
Yeah. Can you throw some light on what will be our growth segment for going for next 2-3 years kind of thing, where we will focus more on it and which can yield good growth for us?
All our businesses are doing well. We intend to work on all of them. Pharma has been steadily growing and that will continue. Food and diagnostics, we have put some extra thrust. Food, from the last 4-5 years, we're doing that. And now diagnostics, we have decided to step up and expand our operations. So that's where we think the growth will come in the future from. And then we have electronics and electricals. This is a new business. It might take some time for it to reach any significant, portions of our total revenue. But in the future, E&D business is also expected to drive the growth of the organization.
And on the new front, on the B2C front, what kind of, growth you see and where you want to scale up kind of thing, want you to go to a 50-100 lakh kind of thing, you know, collection centers kind of thing, or what is your long-term vision for that?
Those numbers will be slightly competitor sensitive, so I won't be able to share them. But then last year we have just begun to expand, you know, Q4 we just began to expand, and this year we have plans for further expansion. So as we go ahead with the plans and see how that pans out for us, we will build more confidence, and therefore solid plans will be made as we progress.
But any ballpark this year, what numbers will be there? Because Q1 you told around 8 to 10 kind of thing coming in various cities. But any ballpark, you know, by year end, what is your number of you know, collection centers, or what will be there?
The collection centers, as I've already indicated, 3 are done, 2 more in the immediate future, and then plan for 5 more during the financial year. And there's a plan for 2 regional labs and 1 branch lab in this year. So that's our expansion plan in this year.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot, and yeah, wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Shah from Banco Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi ma'am, thank you for the opportunity. I had a quick question trying to understand the opportunity that we have on food testing. I remember earlier, maybe a year or 5 quarters back, you know, we did mention that food testing could be as big as pharma testing in the future. But lately, I was just trying to understand, nothing has been spoken about that. So I'm just trying to, you know, get a sense that is there optimism on food testing going down, because lately, in the last few quarters, we're now focusing on, you know, having our own diagnostic centers and that. So if you can perhaps give us some light on that.
No, we have multiple services, and they're all equally focused in terms of business plans. Food, you're right, I did mention that it has huge potential. And just the testing revenue-wise for a laboratory, food definitely has more potential than pharma even today, but it's a highly fragmented market. There are hundreds of food testing labs, and most of this business is regulator-driven. And because of the pandemic, the regulator has allowed people to skip the biannual tests that are normally required on each and every product. So that concession is still continuing in this year as well. So we are expecting that FSSAI might, you know, lift the concession, and from there on we expect the revenues to again flow in. But the business is definitely there, potential is definitely there. We are highly optimistic around it and quite bullish as well.
Okay, okay. So we still stick to our stance saying that there could be a huge opportunity over there. Maybe forget COVID, a year, 2 years or 3 years down the line, there could be significant growth from this sector also coming in for us.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's all from my side. Thank you, ma'am.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurang from NBI. Please go ahead.
Hi. So, just a bookkeeping question. This year, our tax rate has been 25%. So, can we expect it to continue at around that rate, or what is our guidance on that?
Yes, Gaurang, you are right. So, we can expect the tax rate to continue around 25% going forward as well.
Okay, okay. Secondly, on clinical trial side, we said we are yet to commence our first clinical trial. So, any specific therapy segment or business segment are you targeting, or would you begin with?
We are focusing on a few therapies. I don't have the exact details with me.
Okay, okay, okay. And you said that you know, food analytics segment business is fragmented, and that regulatory push will you know, be the growth driver. So, are there any other growth drivers for this business?
The food processing industry is growing quite healthily. the exports and imports market, although there is not growth in double-digit numbers, it's still a very huge component of the food industry. Like, for example, the shrimp business, the exports from India, and you have many other agri products that get exported. So a lot of testing is done to meet the importing countries' regulations. So the imports and exports will always continuously drive this business. And this is not just by volumes. You know, maybe year on year, the countries are finding better technologies to detect, you know, contaminants at the lower levels. So as and when those specifications change, then that also creates more opportunities for labs that are high tech in nature. And then the regulator also, I mean, right now FSSAI is very, very strong, but then you also have the state governments, which some of them have maintained a good thrust on quality of the food products, while some are yet to build their infrastructure. So when this whole environment starts getting more vibrant, then the potential will go up.
Okay, okay. Thanks a lot.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Vij from Attitude Investment. Please go ahead.
Good morning, ma'am. My first question is on the market size of the clinical trials and food testing in India. If you can talk about that briefly.
Food could be in the ballpark range of 5,000 to 6,000 crores. Clinical trials, I don't have the exact numbers with me, sorry, but it's a very common information that is available on the internet.
Sure. And this you are talking about India numbers only, right?
Yes, India numbers.
Okay. And also, could you talk about the CapEx we have incurred in the two broad segments which we talk about, pharma, as well as say, diagnostic and food, till now?
From which period onwards?
I just want to understand whatever our gross block is, so how much is in which division, just to understand the
block.
Yeah, so the major portion goes to our pharma vertical. So that being the major chunk, so we have added about 19 crores of capex during the full year, and followed by, you know, environment also a bit of that. Major, almost 60 to 70% of our capex addition goes to analytical pharma.
And sir, if I look at historically, like 140, 150 crore of gross block which we have, so is it correct to assume that 60-70% will be pharma gross block and the remaining will be the other segment?
Yes, general capex, it may be right to assume. So there could be specific projects additions going forward, which may tweak the proportion.
Yeah, so that was my next question. Going forward, ma'am talked about 30 crore of spending, which is mostly equivalent to our depreciation. So will it remain like 70 towards pharma, or will it reverse and more will be towards the newer segments like diagnostic, food and environmental?
Diagnostics is not very capex intensive, and the food, we have already made our investments during the past few years. So there will be minor investments proportionately to our business mix.
Okay, so bulk will continue to remain pharma only?
Yeah, because bulk revenues are from pharma.
Sure, ma'am. And how is that business growing? Is it growing in double digit or is it, say, higher single digit for us?
It is growing in double digits.
Sure. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jigar Shah from Financial Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, ma'am. I have two questions. One is the diagnostics business, I mean, would be approximately how much of our revenue, about 15-20%, I think, or of the total revenue of 212 crores?
Mr. Shah, we are a one-segment organization. We don't give that kind of bifurcation. But just for, you know, general understanding, I have shared that 60% is business and rest is everything else. So beyond that, I will be unable to share any more detail.
So 60% is pharma, you said, right?
Yes, yes.
And the rest, food, diagnostics, and environmental, etc., would be the remaining?
Yes.
Secondly, ma'am, at the end of Q3 conference call, you mentioned that a new video release is due to be put up on the website of the company relating to our services. Has that been updated, I mean, ma'am?
No, not yet. I think we are running a little behind there, again, because of some slowness on the vendor's side because of their own challenges. But this quarter, it should be out there.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you so much, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Shah from KSA Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, ma'am, and thanks for the opportunity. Ma'am, can you highlight on the opportunity you see on this COVID-19 testing? What you highlighted, you have done good on that side in last quarter. So have we innovated any new development for detecting and identifying new variant? And what opportunity you see that side?
Mr. Shah, we do not. We are not into R&D in the diagnostics. Ours is based on reagents that we procure from people who manufacture these reagents. So we have the same tools that all the other companies have in the market. And I didn't say that we have done well on COVID business. I've just said that outpatient business has come down, but this is well compensated by the COVID business, because COVID testing, you know, the first from the news that every day you are seeing about 3 lakhs plus. So just multiply that by 4 or 5 times, and that's the number of testing that's happening across the country. So we are very local in Hyderabad. We are doing a good number of tests. And the prices for the tests have come down significantly compared to last year. So we are doing much more, but the revenues are lower because the prices are hardly 20-25% of what they were last year.
My question was more related because we have got a good investment from a leader like Eurofins. They are a good investor in our company. So do we have any technical support from them, or they are silent investors?
They are silent investors.
Fine. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viral Bansali, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity once again. My question is regarding your diagnostic space. I presume a major portion of your diagnostic business would be coming from COVID. Is it true? COVID testing?
No.
Okay, so obviously maybe not in the Q4, but I think in the Q1 of this year, it must have picked up as the COVID wave accentuated from April onwards. So have you seen a pickup in the business from April?
In April, it was a significant portion, but was it the largest portion? No.
The largest portion among the diagnostic business, in the diagnostic.
It is not.
Okay. And can you share as to how many tests we have done for COVID?
I don't have the exact numbers with me.
Mm-hmm. If you could share like a rough figure as to how many have you done in the Q4 and maybe in the till now in the Q1?
Monthly, you know, we can expect around 30,000.
Around 30,000 tests.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because sitting here in Mumbai, I will not be able to do a channel check. What could be the average price of an RT-PCR with Vimta Labs?
The government has priced it at 500 rupees. We have no play in that.
Okay. Now, since you said that, you know, the prices of RT-PCR have gone down, right? But then the prices of kits have also gone down.
Yes.
Kits that we use for testing, right?
Yes.
So that should not, obviously, on an absolute volume, yes, it may affect your volume. But the margins-wise, I think the margins should be maintained, preserved.
They are maintained.
Okay. So what is, if you could share a total number of tests done by Vimta in the Q4? Not just COVID, just the number of tests done by our diagnostic business.
We do about 3,000 to 3,500 samples every day.
And that's about 1 lakh testing. Okay, and average realization per test?
You are asking for too much detail, Mr. Viral. I won't be able to share all that. It is competitor sensitive.
Yeah, but then even the competitors can know your price on the market, right?
So they may know, but you don't have to publish it, right?
I agree. But, I mean, just to get an idea of the potential of your diagnostic business currently and going forward, like, you know, that's why.
The potential is very good, no? And that's why we are expanding. I cannot share specific numbers that you're asking for.
I agree. I understand, right? I understand. So now, I want to understand the mix. Because after this COVID, obviously, a significant chunk, like, if not majority, but a significant chunk of your diagnostic business would be composed of COVID testing.
It is.
Right. So, like, after this COVID wave subsides, there is obviously going to be a dip in this. Now, will that be adequately compensated by the non-COVID testing? My worry is regarding that.
Yeah, we don't expect it to happen.
Okay, so what do you as such expect is that the drop in COVID will be more than compensated by the other testing that people have been holding on to?
Yeah, the outpatient will again pick up, right, once COVID comes down.
Oh, okay. So any plans for a lab in Mumbai, because Mumbai is really in desperate need of labs and every lab goes full.
Mumbai, we have no current plans.
Do think about it. Sitting here in Mumbai and having faced the COVID wave, the big guys like Metropolis and ThyroCare, and they were asking for 7 days for a test, now which is too much.
Yeah, so, I understand, Mr. Viral, and your input is respectfully taken.
Fine. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Abhishek Shah from Vancouver Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, ma'am. Thank you for the opportunity again. I just had a quick question on trying to understand, since electronic testing is something that we're seeing really good opportunity, and to some extent it would be a field that we haven't ventured into earlier. So, you know, what sort of expertise would be needed, if you can explain us the management bandwidth that we have on this, and if we have, you know, recruited someone who is specialized in this, or, you know, someone on the board or someone at a management level. Thank you.
Typically for all our business units, you know, the head is a techno-commercial expert, more technical and less commercial if we have to choose between both of them. So, yes, we have recruited the right people at the top, and the team is also getting built up now. And traditionally, this is a scientific organization, and we have mostly scientists on board. We do have some engineers, but they are called environmental engineers who do those kind of projects. So here, for the first time, company is hiring electronic engineers. So that's the kind of expertise that is needed for managing our E&D business. And we do have plans to build the team as we go forward.
And in terms of the expertise, ma'am, is it a complementing thing, you know, compared to our other testing business, or this will be a completely new field in terms of the expertise also?
The test instruments are different. The entire tech mix could have some overlaps with other divisions, because some products you may not only just test the E&D component, you might test it for other things.
Okay.
Different.
Got it. And also, ma'am, you mentioned automobile, products that could be tested. Would telecom products also be an opportunity that we would be looking at in, the electronics space?
Yes, telecom is also a segment that we target.
That's all.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Vij from Astute Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. Ma'am, my question is on the food testing business in India. You had talked about the market is like 5,000-6,000 crores. Could you talk about who are the big players and maybe what is the organized versus unorganized in this industry?
There are no exact numbers out there based on any structured market research here. But if you go to the NABL website, there are many, many labs, hundreds of labs that are NABL accredited for food testing. And there will be probably many more labs which are not really accredited. And some have accreditation for BIS, some for EPIDAF, some for EIC, some for D-Board, some may have it for Spices Board. So the variety and size of these labs is very big, and I don't think there is any published information on the exact numbers. But the potential is huge. Some of the biggest players, and of course we are one of them, are you have SGS, you have TUF, you have Eurofins, you have locally in Hyderabad we have competitors like First Source, there's Reliable Labs, EnviroCare. These are all second tier. But the big ones are all mostly multinationals, and we are the only Indian origin company that is in that league.
And any of the MNCs, and it will be obviously your estimate, no numbers, are doing like 200, 300, 500 crore business, or they will be like around 100 crore only, the bigger MNCs I'm talking about.
I wouldn't be able to say because they don't publish those numbers, but most of the MNCs rely on their inspection business and the regular food testing is a component of that inspection business.
Okay, while for us food testing is the main business versus the inspection business.
Yeah, we are not into inspection.
Inspection, yes, yes. And my second and final question is on the molecular diagnostic which you talked about, maybe not now, 1-3 years hence. Could you talk about the opportunity in India and maybe who are the players who will be, you will be competing against in this sector?
See, molecular diagnostics is not a basic level test, but it's a mid-level test. And so basically all the labs mostly, any decent reputed lab will have molecular diagnostics.
Ma'am, but what is the size of this segment of the diagnostic in India? I'm just looking at that. And how is it this molecular diagnostic business growing?
I wouldn't have the exact numbers on that, sorry. But I'm sure that information is available publicly on the internet.
I tried to find out what I could. No issues, ma'am. Thank you for the answer.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Manchanda for his closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for joining on this call. A special thanks to the Vimta management. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you all. I wish and hope you'll all stay healthy. Thank you.